The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you for a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. You should also have love for one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Please be seated. Who was I that I could hinder God? Who are we that we could hinder God? Just when this community needs to be thinking about visions of your future, the lectionary readings provide us with stories of those who have been given visions. It's got to be the timing of the Holy Spirit, as far as I'm concerned. So last Friday night, 30 of you joined together to share a meal, a potluck supper, A+, and remember visions of our individual and our community visions from former days. What were the stories that mattered to our faith as individuals and as community? Their work, or I should say the beginning of their work, which started last Friday, is displayed for you over on the walls this morning. It's the sheets of paper with the dates at the top and the sticky notes on them. The sticky notes were their work. It tells when in the decades the things that happened to either grow their faith or to hinder their faith. But it was the things that happened here in community at St. Andrew's, or perhaps occasionally at some other Episcopal church that we attended in those decades. And so you get to actually join with them by adding your own sticky notes over the next several weeks, thinking of those stories for the church of St. Andrew's that made a difference for you. The things that you thought, the fact that it was happening here mattered. And you can put it on a sticky note and put it on the decade that you believe it happened so that we have sort of a timeline of those happenings. And sometimes things happen in every time, every decade that I've got up there. I've got, I think, 20 years on each page. It was truly an evening of blessing and grace, I have to say. This work is really the preface to creating new visions of who God is asking us to be. Our heritage here at St. Andrew's, no matter whether you've been here for 40 years or 4 years, or this is your first week, matters. Our heritage matters. It offers us hope and perspective that we can do a new thing in this day as all the faithful did in their days. That's important. This morning, we must hear the words of Jesus spoken so many generations ago as if he were standing right here. Because that's how pertinent our readings are to us right now, in our day. Jesus always begins a new time of visioning with this commandment to love one another. Sometimes he tells us specifically in words, but more often he shows us how you love one another. Our collect for the day, I think, uses a word that's helpful with this love, this kind of love. The word is steadfastly. It sort of comes up with a slow, gentle, steady progress that helps us live into this commandment in a deeper way. It's not an easy commandment to do. And the kind of love Jesus is talking about is not the word that we throw around all the time. We love all kinds of things. I mean, I love jelly beans. That's not the kind of love Jesus is talking about. This is truly, I think the Greek and Hebrew have several words for the word love, but the translation that seems to fit in this context is loving kindness. And that has more action in it, more depth to it, a broader plane. It's a way that speaks to truth and life for every human being, for all of creation. And I love the fact that there is a flavor of creation in our readings this morning, in the first reading, and then also especially in the psalm. There's a depth, authenticity, and openness to this love. It's a way we approach every moment of our lives and all those people around us. The trick is that if we truly follow Jesus' footsteps, it will take us toward human beings who are different than we are. Not better or worse, just different. Every place Jesus traveled in his short life here on earth, he gathered together all sorts of people. He met people where they were most likely to show up. He met them along the way, on the roads and at wells. Wells were the gathering place very often at the beginning of a community. He would go to those places where life was happening in very ordinary kinds of ways. What he experienced in Joppa, well, Peter did that too. Peter also followed in Jesus' footsteps very carefully. He showed, he told the stories, he witnessed to his love for Christ. And so when he was asked this question, which I'm sure he knew was a critical question, he told them a story that showed the answer. He didn't tell them in words. He showed them through a story. And what he had experienced there in Joppa was the first grassroots movement of God, to widen the circle of everlasting life beyond Jesus' Jewish roots. So we just prayed, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, for us anyway, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Now, we hear those words and we think, well, that's a long ways off. I'm not going to think about eternal life. I just got to think about today. Well, I'm here today telling you that what Jesus is talking about here is eternal life begins right now. It starts right here and right now. Every day it starts. You see, we have to truly know heaven on earth. Who remembers the song, Heaven is a Place on Earth? Ooh, baby. I won't go any further. It's a generational thing. But the refrain from that song actually speaks to this. Now, that might have been about romantic love, and this is not about romantic love, but there's an image there. And it says, ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? Oh, heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. That's right out of Jesus' mouth. We'll make heaven a place on earth. That's what we're doing. That's what we're called to do. To create everlasting life right here for all kinds of people and from within this community even. Loving kindness offered to all of creation. So it's not just the people. It is a creational kind of thing. The fact is that Peter becomes in this time a signpost to a vision he was given by God. And God keeps him, giving him confirmation of his progress through his witness to the power of the Holy Spirit. He witnessed the Holy Spirit coming down on those Gentiles. And he knew it was the same thing as what had happened to them, to the disciples. The Holy Spirit is a gift of God that allows us to see new heaven and earth that John actually speaks in his revelation, his vision that he was given of what is possible. And I know it sounds really fantastic, all these things that John tells us he's seen. But when you come to those little pieces that actually hit you, that make total sense. See, the home of God is among mortals, right here, right now. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. That is for all of us. And every day, there are moments when we might feel broken. We might be struggling. We might feel pain. But the fact is that God, when we call God forward, when we say, help me, it matters. God's there. And then John says, and the one who was seated at the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. I write something down, I'm going to remember it way better. Or it somehow has resonated with me. And then he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And here's the sentence that I love about this verse. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. How thirsty are we? Who are the thirsty people out there looking for water, looking for something from the spring of the water of life? Who are those that we can help wipe away every tear? Those who are perhaps looking for that spring themselves. With Jesus' commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, it's imperative that we hear this reading from the book of Acts as timely right now. It's why we just sang the song we just did. This is a text about border crossings, river crossings, barrier crossings. Over the years, the Episcopal Church's spirit-led visions have brought new insights regarding things like slavery and racial equality and justice and women's ordination and the rights and dignity of LGBTQ people. Some of that may look obvious in hindsight, but we also know there's a lot more work to be done, and there's new acts of justice out there that need to happen. Still, encountering the Holy Spirit, who is alive and pushing the church in some new and astonishing direction, can be frightening. It can be scary. It can ask of us stuff that we don't think we can measure up to. But the fact is that we are not alone doing it. We are in community. And this church asked this in February when we were doing our congregational assessment. This community asked for figuring out how we can deepen our sense of community. And so we're going to be doing that over the next few months because it's going to make a difference. It's going to raise our level of courage, our willing to imagine, to actually accept visions that we didn't know we could do. The Spirit always pushes us as a church, as a community, to greater practices of God's love for all people of the world. And we start small, here. outside of our neighbors. That's why I put the book up there. Who is my neighbor? You'll hear more about that later. So you got to understand, where Peter was and the apostles, it would have been more comfortable and probably safer for the early church to keep Cornelius and his Gentile household at arm's length. And if they had done that, we would not be sitting here because we are the Gentiles. They could have had like a probationary period. You know how you tried on sort of women's ordination, kinda. To make sure that everybody understood what the boundaries were and the differences. But the fact is that in that first century, God apparently had no patience for those kinds of activities and slowing down what God wanted to happen. Clearly, all the implications of this event haven't been worked out in this one little piece from the Acts of the Apostles. Otherwise, the Jerusalem meeting that's going to happen in Acts 15 to settle the Gentile question, doesn't that just sound like us today, the Gentile question, would be unnecessary. It takes time. It takes bringing everybody in, inviting everybody in, having these conversations over and over again to figure out what's going to make the difference. The church is always supposed to be working toward a fuller understanding of what God is doing and listening to hear from surprising sources. What new things God wants us to do. And that's why Peter's story this morning matters so much. Whose stories do we need to listen to? Who do we need to have face-to-face conversations with? And once we've given everybody a good listening to, will we know what we're supposed to do? Will we be given a vision? Maybe it's a collective vision. Will we know how God wants us to join some other people? Notice that I didn't say help or fix or whatever, because that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to join other people. That's what community is about. It's about relationships. And in the process, all of God's broken people, us and whoever we join, is made a new thing. There was I have to tell you this story. It's a little add-on. But this morning when I opened up my Facebook page, a good clergy friend of mine from New Hampshire had put in a story that she had found about this Japanese art form, I'll call it. You know, you have your favorite ceramic bowl or pottery bowl, and you trip and it falls on the floor and shatters? Well, in Japan, they have created a way of putting those pieces back together using gold and resin and sometimes silver. And so when it's all put back together, it's more beautiful than it was before it began. What a great image for us, even in our brokenness. We, as we fit ourselves back together again, can be more beautiful because of our brokenness. I'll try and get the pictures. I only read it like a half an hour before I came to church this morning, so I just thought that's the image I'm going to keep in my mind. When I was little and I couldn't go to sleep, my mother would say to me, just tell yourself a story, Susan. Just tell yourself a story. Telling myself a story has become my way of letting God plant visions and possibilities in my head and heart. And some of them actually come true. Not always the way I expected. Usually the truth showed up in better ways than I could possibly have hoped or imagined. But some of them did come true. So I want us to tell ourselves more stories about the future of this parish. I want you to imagine. I want you to open yourself to a vision that God can drop into your mind and you then embellish. You, the gathering of holy, fully human, sometimes broken and beautiful people, who God has been calling together and putting to work for the kingdom for decades and decades. Let your imaginations go wild. Feed them from those springs of living water and from your baptismal promises. And see those stories as trustworthy and true, and even go ahead and write them down. And then send them to Jesus in care of me so that I can have them and we can share them as a way of building up that image of who God is calling us to be. Yeah, do that. Send them to me. Or come tell me. Tell me the story that God gave you of a vision for this place. Amen.